You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Congressman Mark Takai is asking Speaker of the House Paul Ryan to allow members of Congress to dress in aloha wear on Fridays on the House floor. In a letter to the Speaker, Takai says embracing the aloha shirt will allow members to embrace the aloha spirit, something that Washington could use a little more of. Aloha shirts are allowed to be worn on Friday on the floors of the Hawaii State House and Senate. The Ringling Brothers Circus Elephants are being retired in May. The parent company of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey announced today that 13 Asian elephants used in the traveling circus will be moved to its Elephant Conservation Center in Florida. Animal rights groups have accused the circus of mistreating the elephants. Last March, Feld Entertainment said the elephants would be phased out by 2018. The company gave no reason for the earlier retirement. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
The weather this afternoon is sunny with a high near 35. It'll be breezy with a west winds around 13 to 21 miles per hour. And tonight it'll be increasingly clouds with low around 19. West winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Tuesday, scattered snow showers. I hate the S word. Mainly afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 38. Be calm winds becoming south 5 to 8 miles per hour in the morning, and a chance of precipitation is 40%. And the S word accumulation, will be less than a half inch. Tuesday night, another chance of snow showers, mainly before 7 o'clock. Partly cloudy with a low around 19, west winds 9 to 11 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. With little or no snow accumulation expected. Thank you. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 30. West winds 9 to 14 miles an hour. And Wednesday night is partly cloudy with a low around 14.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Yeah, but I would do it west to east. Good afternoon and welcome. This is Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and this is NAMI's Hour. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and it's courtesy of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And there is a NAMI chapter in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. We are very privileged because this is an award-winning show, and I'm happy to host it. It's got a governor's award last year for helping to break stigma attached to mental illness. If you need to reach out to NAMI, we have a phone number, 908-284-0500. We're all volunteers, so we don't man it 24/7, but somebody checks it at least twice a day, and they will guarantee to get back to you within 24 hours. We try to help people by teaching classes. The family-to-family class is a 12-week course which tries to help families and caregivers understand better what a loved one or a friend or relative is going through with mental illness. And we have support groups for families, try to have them someplace where they can vent if they want to, or just talk and maybe get a few ideas from somebody who has been there and done that. Everything we do is free. There's no charge. So if you're interested, like I said, the phone number is 908-284-0500. Today, we're very privileged to have with us Martha Roselli for like the third or fourth time. And Martha is from Catholic Charities, and she is responsible for behavioral health, youth services, and social concerns for Hunterdon, Warren, and Somerset County. Lucky you, you just couldn't get one. You got all three.
Yeah. When I got the second one, I said, double your pleasure, double your fun. But then I got a third one, so I guess I got to think of a jingle for that one.
I know that we were talking before, and, that it seems like every time you're on, something unfortunate happens. But
well, that's life.
At least it coincides with when you're on.
There you go.
But you have a thing called children's behavioral health care.
Right.
What is that exactly?
Well, there is a system throughout the state of New Jersey called the Children's System of Care. And that system is designed to support children through, believe it or not, the age of 21, the day before their 22nd birthday, to serve them if they have a behavioral health need. They could have perhaps a behavioral need as opposed to a mental illness. They could have both, or they could have either or. So what we do at Catholic Charities is we have several different programs. And the program that is sort of like the first responder, we'll say, to a child in a behavioral crisis or a mental health crisis, it's called Children's Mobile Response and Stabilization Services. It's staffed by people who are crisis intervention specialists. They've received specialized training. The state has a certification program for these folks. They will, a call to perform care, and I can give you that number later if you'd like, but a call to perform care, which is the state's, shall we say, it's the contracted systems administrator, so it's really someone, all the calls go through them. So if you call the number that I'll give you, if you have a child or young adult in a behavioral health crisis and want someone to come out to your home, it goes to Perform Care. It doesn't go to Catholic Charities. So the call goes to Perform Care. And then the person who is on call 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, picks up the phone, and you will speak to an actual crisis intervention specialist. Mm-hmm. And determine whether or not a crisis intervention specialist should come out to the home or somewhere in the community. It could be a school. It could be a football field. It could be pretty much anywhere where this child or young adult is having a behavioral problem or a mental health issue. And so they will respond. The parent has to be in agreement if the person is under 18 that we're responding to. One parent needs to be in agreement, or guardian, of course, and they go to the home or wherever they need to go, and they help de-escalate the crisis and try to help the family get back to a pre-crisis state. Now, they're only open with the family for 72 hours. So let me give you a scenario. You have a 12-year-old who refuses to go to school, doesn't want to go to school, has not gone to school for several days. You've tried everything. Maybe the child has a therapist that you've contacted and you've done what the therapist has suggested. You've been in contact with Family Crisis Intervention Unit, and so you're going to start services with them. But the child won't go to school.
Right.
And in New Jersey, your child has to go to school, has to be educated, mm-hmm. go to school or homeschooling, but it has to be educated. So the crisis intervention specialist might come out to your home at 7 o'clock in the morning and kind of figure out what's going on. Why won't this child go to school? Sometimes it's because a child is being bullied. Sometimes it's because a child is anxious. Sometimes it could be a child is afraid to go to school because they haven't done their assignments. Sometimes children won't go to school because a parent is ill and they're worried that the parent will have to go to the hospital or will even die before the child comes home from school. At times we've had children refuse to go to school because there's been a domestic violence problem in the home and they're afraid that if they go to school, their parent will be beaten. Or they're afraid if they go to school, their parent might start drinking. So there's many reasons why the child might not go to school. And some of those really are mental health based. Certainly the anxiety is a serious matter. For whatever the reason the child's anxious, the anxiety itself is a serious matter and most uncomfortable for these children. So Mobile Response will do an assessment of the family. Before the person leaves, they will be in contact with their supervisor, and the supervisor will give them any additional guidance they may need. And then if the parent is agreeable to it, and if it is approved, because all plans and all treatment follow-through has to be authorized by Perform Care, they may put maybe in-home counseling in place, where a therapist will come to the house once or twice a week, whatever has been approved.
Right.
They may put into place a behavioral assistant who would work with the therapist, the in-home therapist, and maybe take the child out, help the child to get more organized. Sometimes the children don't go to school because they don't know how to organize their homework, etc., and the behavioral assistant will help with that. Sometimes it's things such as getting the child involved. We had a child once who was very obese and was being teased at school. And so it was helping that child get a membership at the Y so that the child could exercise more, helping the family meet with a dietitian to help the family develop a plan. We had somebody who donated a brand new bicycle for the child so the child could exercise more even while he was at home. And that worked.
Right.
Some solutions are common sense solutions. Right. Others are more complicated.
Do you find that a lot of times there's an overlap between mental health issues and behavioral issues?
Most times. Right. Most times. You know, a child may be experiencing some very severe mood swings. And so if that child has been diagnosed perhaps with bipolar disorder and the child is, for 3 days is climbing the walls, their behavior is going to be out of control. The parents are exhausted. They don't know what to do. In that case, if the child has not had a psychiatric evaluation, and the licensed professional at Catholic Charities believes, in Mobile Response, believes that that would be appropriate. And if it's approved, then we will arrange for a psychiatric evaluation, counseling for the child, medication if it's called for, and sometimes group, sometimes a partial care program, depending upon what the situation mm-hmm. is. But oftentimes, the behavioral problem is linked to a child's own mental health issue or perhaps even a parent's mental health issue.
Okay. And the children's mobile response is pretty much what you're explaining?
Yes.
So it's actually a response team. It's like, the hospital has emergency services, and they have a response team. Somebody calls up threatening suicide or whatever, they'll have an emergency response to go out. But this is very similar, only it's children.
Well, it's similar. Well, the hospital does that for children as well. It's similar, except that my staff are not screeners. They're not trained or certified to be screeners for suicide or homicide, for self-harm or harm to others. So if we have a child who parents are describing as being out of control and needing someone to come to their house, and they come within an hour, unless there's something called a delayed dispatch, and I could talk about that in a moment. But if it's an immediate, the person, my crisis intervention specialist, needs to be there within an hour. They get there, and then they talk to the child, and they find out that this child appears to be suicidal. At least that's what some of the indication is. The child's expressing symptoms, they're seeing some signs, they're talking to parents who have seen signs. Then our staff will facilitate the child being screened. We will help the parents make the phone call to 100 and Behavioral Health, and then in that case, the child then will, you know, we will make sure that the child gets there to 100 in Behavioral Health. If they're unable for whatever reason, maybe they have people in the field already and they're book solid, then we would make sure that the child gets to the hospital. And if the parents wish us, for my staff, to stay with them during this process, they can, just support for the parents. So we don't do suicide or homicide screenings. Mm-hmm. We assess if, in fact, that could be a problem, and if so, then we make sure that they get to the hospital or that someone from the hospital comes out to them.
When your first responder, so to speak, go out to a case involving a child, did the police go too?
There are times we try to avoid that at all costs. There are times when the police will call us. They'll be out at a house and they'll call us. There are times when, you know, if the child is seriously, I mean, we've had children try to jump out a second-story window while we're there. Right. And for the child's safety, yes, but that's a very, very rare occasion. And we would not do that without the parents' knowledge. The parents couldn't expect to see a police officer show up on their doorstep that we've called without knowing in advance we're going to do that.
Right. It's ironic because I've had two different doctors from two different groups, doctors' groups, tell me after a presentation that they had three-year-olds who attempted suicide.
Yes, yeah.
And it's not like they understood what suicide was. It's just that they wanted to do something to stop the pain they had. And,
right.
You know, and I'm three. You know?
It's so incredibly sad.
It is.
That
it's
a child would even be able to have the awareness that their pain is so great that they, rather than parents, that they themselves would have to take those extreme measures and not even understand what those extreme measures
exactly,
mean.
Exactly, because both doctors said it's not like they understood that that was suicide because they're barely three, you know, but they just knew that their pain was very bad and, you know, it's just scary to think about, you know, it just...
Yeah, it is. The good news, though, honestly, Larry, the good news is that I think the field is really moving in the direction of knowing more, of learning more about children developmentally, learning more about what the impact of the environment on children can be, and how to address those issues in a developmentally appropriate way. So, you know, a three-year-old, we're not going to put an individual therapist in with a three-year-old.
Right. 'Cause,
you know, that just doesn't make sense. I mean, that's really family therapy. And though the three-year-old is the focus of the treatment, really it needs the parent to be involved in the treatment.
But don't you find sometimes that the parents either throw up their hands and say, I've had it, or don't want to be involved, or there's a separation between the parents or a divorce or whatever, and they, you know.
All of those things.
don't see eye to eye on a lot of occasions.
All of those things. I think what's most difficult for for the crisis intervention specialists is when parents try to engage them in a custody dispute.
Right.
And we make it very clear that we're there for the child. We're not there to determine custody. We do not give recommendations. That has nothing to do with our work. Yes, some parents can become very, very tired of all this. You know, think about it. Think about having a child, even an adult child who has a mental health problem in a home, and then having really, I mean, at times, 24-hour eyes on them. You know, you would hope that a three-year-old could pretty much sleep through the night, at least for 5 or 6 hours without waking up for water or whatever. But some of these children just don't sleep, don't seem to sleep. They'll catch a cat nap here or there. And then what do you do as a parent, especially if you have other children? They're really torn. And then we also see some parents who one parent will think, okay, my child needs help. And the other parent is in denial and saying, no, my son's fine. My daughter's fine. Yeah. They don't need any help. This is you making it up. You're just being dramatic, you know, knock off the drama. And that child, if the child didn't need help, probably will soon.
Yeah, exactly. And more so probably than what they do initially.
Yes. It's just compounded. It is, you know, human nature being what it is, we try to understand those difficulties.
Right.
And try to support each parent in the way in which helps them the best. But my therapist, I think one of the assistant program director described the mobile response program this way. They're like the EMTs, the paramedics. They go into the home. They stabilize the patient, so to speak, although we don't consider the children to be patients, but they stabilize the patients in the EMT parlance, and then they get them to the hospital, or they get them to the doctor, or they get the doctor to them. So I think that's a good way to look at it. My crisis intervention specialists are not in-home therapists. That's not what their specialty is. Their specialty is crisis de-escalation. And then to be able to assess what would be most beneficial to this child working with their supervisor. And then coming up with a plan, an individual service plan, to determine what's going to help this family the most.
Yeah.
This is a very simple sample. But we had a group of children living in a home here in Hunterdon County. And none of the kids wanted to go to school. So everybody's putting their head together. What's this about? The children didn't want to speak. The school actually called us in. And, you know, after the supervisor probed a little bit, they figured it out. It was as simple as this. They didn't have clean clothes. They would go to school and kids would make fun of them because they wore the same clothes every day and they smelled. So what we were able to do was to facilitate the family getting a washer and dryer. And then after that, there was no more problem. Now, that's a really simple solution, but we've had other situations where we've had a child, very young children, as young as 6 and 7 years old, being diagnosed with a major depressive disorder, being diagnosed with a psychotic disorder. And those, you know, those are the two extremes. Right. So we see the two extremes and everything in between.
Yeah. You know, the reason I mentioned police officers was because I had taken a crisis intervention training, they call it, for police officers. And it's a 40-hour course. And the lady that started it in Union County lives in Hunterdon County.
Yes. Yeah. She was a former assistant prosecutor.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And we say, oh, you know, but I was on a mobile outreach with the medical center that we got called to, and it was a young man, early 20s, locked in his bedroom, wouldn't come out, was yelling through the door. Three police officers were there. They talked to that young man through the door for an hour and 15 minutes. Now, think back a couple years. That wouldn't have happened.
That's right.
They'd have kicked that door down and they'd have handcuffed that young man and that would have been it. As it was, after an hour and 15 minutes, one of the police officers came down and talked to the parents and said, you know, we can't wait any longer. We have to do something. We will promise you we will be as gentle as possible. Well, they took the young man down, but they took him down on the bed rather than the floor.
Right.
And they did handcuff him, yes. And so the EMTs could take him out on the, you know, stretcher. But it's just how far we have come, you know. And I'm a big fan of CIT training.
Because I am too.
I had police officers come up to me after the 40 hours the last day and thank me for being there because it gave, you know, a different perspective. And I just said, well, you know, we don't want the police officers hurt, but we don't want our loved ones hurt either.
That's right.
You know, no one wants to see a police officer get hurt, but we don't want to see our son or daughter or aunt or uncle or mother or father get hurt either, you mm-hmm. know. So if they can talk them down, it's a lot better. So I'm all for it.
Well, I absolutely agree with you in terms of the crisis intervention training. You know, I've haven't had the benefit of going through the entire training because I'm not going to use it, and I just don't have the time to do it. But many of my staff have, and in Warren County, they do crisis intervention training twice a year, and my mobile responders actually have completed mm-hmm. some of them have completed that training, but also participate as trainers as
right.
well,
right.
and discuss it from the children's side,
right?
And our CIAC, our Children's Interagency Coordinating Council in Hunterdon County Catholic Charities convenes. We have parents on that particular committee as well, and others who are interested should give me a call, the parents, and I would be happy to talk to them about CIAC. One of the parents had a very difficult experience. She had a police respond to her son, who has a mental health problem, and he's a pretty big guy. At that time, he wasn't quite 18. And one of the police officers was very wonderful and supportive, and the other one was, you know, kind of a get in there and let's get this done. Yeah. And you can understand it, where she lives is a small department, so it's not like they have a lot of police officers to spare. So I do understand it from the police perspective. But the CIT training helps you to get these things done a lot right. quicker, I think. Because if you bring them in, you got to process them and all that. That takes time and,
right.
and police officers off the road. But at any rate, we actually did a sort of like an educational night for parents and school teachers and school administrators. I guess it was maybe a year ago, a little over a year ago. And we had folks from the prosecutor's office here in Hunterdon County come out and present this kind of the CIT model, kind of what the children are going through, how they approach them, how they're trained to approach. And it was really very well received by the audience. And it's even the professionals who were there who had no idea mm-hmm. about CIT. So I think CIT works for a broad range of people. And I have had law enforcement officers say to me, you know, I'm glad I had the training because now I have an understanding. I expected everybody to understand what it's like to be a police officer, but now I understand it from the family's point of view and from the person who needs the medical attention, their point of view, too. And I thought that was pretty profound right. after 40 hours of training.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't want to stay on a subject, but what I do tell people, when there is no crisis in your household, go to your local police department.
Yes.
And explain, well, I have a son, he is schizophrenic. He may go off and he may do this, or this. But just so you know, if you get called, that what you're coming into. And a lot of police officers are very happy.
Oh,
that,
yes.
You know, that people do this. So I strongly suggest, you know, if you may have a problem down the road with, you know, a loved one, when there's not a problem and everything is quiet and everything is normal, quote unquote, go to the police department and explain what the mental health issue is or what the issue may be and what happens if the loved one goes a little bizarre. And the police officers are very happy about that because that way if they get a call, they know what they're walking into.
Well, actually, the state is actually working on that. Well, I say the state. I don't mean the state itself. I mean agency representatives from around the state are working on a registry, which would be entirely voluntary for children. It would mm-hmm. be the parents registering. For adults, it would be the adult registering, which would register with the 911 system to indicate right. if they're responding to a home that someone has a mental health disorder at that home, and kind of what they can expect when they get there. Now, you know, there's a difference. People are saying, well, we don't want to have to tell them this, or, you know, they don't need to know that, or like medications can change really, you know, in a heartbeat.
Yep.
So, you know, that experience. But so, you know, maybe that's not as important, but to tell them, okay, please, you know, don't be out of his line of sight, or don't stand behind him, or et cetera.
Don't stand over them either.
Don't stand over them. Right. You know, you know, it's frightening. It's they're feeling overpowered, and they're feeling out of control enough. They don't need to feel out of control about that. So they are really, they're really moving in that direction, which I think also speaks to reducing stigma.
Sure. Absolutely.
And, you know, I remember talking to someone fairly recently, and that person was, well, you know, then you let it out there that, you know, someone in the house has a mental health disorder. I said, so what? If the person had renal failure and was hooked, had to do, you know, at home, whatever they do, I don't even know what it's called, dialysis, I guess, and you wanted the police to know in case there was a 5-day power blackout or whatever, right. You register them on Register Ready, right? Well, then what's the difference? People can't have just unfettered access. Well, I don't want it to go out over the radio. You know, my friends have police scanners. Hey, wake up. This, you know, this is the 21st century. They don't do that. It goes, they call them on the telephone, on the cell phone.
Right.
So I think people just need to be aware that there are processes in place. And I think it does serve to reduce stigma because, you know, and I find people in my profession are very almost so concerned that someone may find something out about something that someone has, and there's a lot of somethings in there, but it's deliberate, when it's like, yes, the person has bipolar disorder. Okay, well, you know, my husband has a seizure disorder, okay? I'm not ashamed of that. He's not ashamed of it. Why should you be ashamed because you have bipolar disorder? I think that people deserve their privacy. I am a person who believes in privacy. But I'm not a person who thinks that you should immediately think that someone's going to be stigmatized. That's where the education comes in. That gives you the opportunity to explain. You know, I've talked before about an aunt of mine who died last 2 years ago now almost, and she had been diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder for many, many years. She was in fourth grade the first time she was hospitalized. She went on to be this woman who had, I think she didn't even have an eighth grade education, went on to represent National NAMI all over the country and in Mexico.
Right.
And she had a mental health disorder, and which she was on, she didn't have as much education, but she was a smart lady, and she knew her mental illness in and out. And she was not ashamed, and we were not ashamed of her or her mental illness.
Of course not.
And I think that's what it's going to take to help reduce some of the stigma that people feel.
And I think the more celebrities who come out, Glenn Close, it's ironic that Demi Lovato has come out, and she's a big supporter.
I don't even know who she is. tells you how old-fashioned I am.
Well, me too, but I mean, she's a singer.
Oh, is she? Okay.
And evidently a good one, but I don't know. You know, it's modern. It's not country in the 50s, so I'm out of it. But anyway, she used to stay up all night, 4 or 5 nights in a row, days and nights in a row, and write songs. And she thought that was perfectly normal.
Well, for her, it was.
Well, at the time, it was.
Right.
But now she, you know, she has bipolar and depression, and but she's a big advocate of NAMI and spoke at their national conference. And, you know, so she, it's people like her that help.
Yes, you know? I agree. When people realize that, okay, this is not an illness because you've done something wrong and you're being punished. This is not an illness because your parents didn't buy you a pony.
Right.
This is an illness that most of them are chemically based.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the same thing as having another illness that's chemically based. Does it present itself in a way that can frighten people? Absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, I can tell you that when I was new to the profession, we won't say how many years ago, but when I was new to the profession, there were a couple of times I was really nervous. I can remember being alone in the office and someone came in and she had what we now call dissociative identity disorder. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was multiple personality disorder. And she was going from personality to personality left and right. It was the only time I've ever experienced somebody who had that particular illness. And I didn't know what to do. Actually. It is rare. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was scared. Sure. Here I am, you know, right, in my my early 20s saying, oh, my God, what do I do now? Yeah. But now I wouldn't be, I mean, I wouldn't be afraid because I've been in the field for so long, but I also wouldn't be afraid because I became more educated.
Sure, sure. And, you know, with the children's mobile response, you said there was an age bracket. And 21 was one end. What was the other end?
Well, it could be pretty much anything, but we're not going to respond to somebody's house whose child is teething, you know.
Okay.
Well, believe me, we've had calls. You know, sometimes it's somebody. There have been times when we have responded to someone who has a child who is having a tantrum. You know, you have a 2.5-year-old throwing themselves on the floor, and right away the parent thinks, oh, my goodness, my child has a mental illness. And that's just a parent who needs some parenting education and support. And we recognize that. And, you know, and that's not something we would normally go out on. I don't even know why we were instructed to go out on. We had a couple of those on those calls. But we did. And, you know, we got them hooked up with some parenting education, gave them some educational material to read, talked to them about what you could do next time. You know, positive attention, you know, or attention for positive behaviors as opposed to negative, those sort of things.
Right.
And it worked out all right. You know, hopefully we'll never have to go back to that family.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's great. If you can have a success where you don't have to go back time and time and time again, it's wonderful, you know. Unfortunately, a lot of times with mental illness, you know, they crash.
You just don't know.
And you don't know, you know.
And, you know, we don't, the behavioral problems, sometimes we'll have to go out on, over the course of the young person's life several times. But most times parents will learn how to manage some of the behaviors before it gets to that point.
Right.
Or know when, okay, this my child's going to start decompensating and this is what I need to do. That we'll have hopefully hook them up to a therapist, hook them up if necessary to a psychiatrist so they receive even more education. And so they'll know how to, you know, sort of
pick up
circumvent.
On the steps that,
exactly.
You know, that you know, take place prior to the
And, you know, the positive
breakdown.
Things.
Yeah.
You know, the other piece to it is that we want to look at a family and look at their strengths. We don't just go in there and see the mental illness and see the child. We look at the family all together. And what are the family's strengths? Well, maybe the family really know how to have a good time together. So how can we help them do more of that and less responding to the mental illness?
Absolutely.
You know, maybe, you know, mother is a terrific baker. And she loves to bake. And, you know, maybe we can incorporate that somehow with the child being involved and while the child's in a good place and really help with that relationship. So when the child's in a bad place, the parent will be predisposed to looking at it more positively
and
looking at the child as a whole child, not the mental illness, not the behavioral problem. And I always say, you know, you may have a mental illness, but that doesn't mean you're mentally ill 100% of the time.
No,
it's the same
not.
Thing with the behavioral. You know. So let's look at, you know, you're talking about 10%, 12% of the time, maybe. I mean, it depends upon the person.
Depends on a person.
In terms of the behavior. But then let's look at the rest of the time, the 88% of the time. And that seems to help. That seems to help some families. Because they're feeling downtrodden and they're feeling like they've done something wrong and they continue to do the same thing wrong. And sometimes, honestly, they do some things wrong.
Well, yeah, but that's not 100% of the cause all the time. You know,
it's being human.
Right.
You're allowed to make mistakes.
Exactly. You know.
So it's supporting the healthier kind of outlook and behavior as opposed to reinforcing the negative.
Right. We have to take a quick break.
Okay.
You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Martha Roselli, who is from Catholic Charities, and she is responsible for behavioral health, youth services, social concerns for Hunterdon, Somerset, and Warren counties. And I have to ask a question. Is there still a Children's Interagency Coordinated Council?
Yes. Yes, Kayak. I just came from that meeting. Oh, I left it early Kayak. To come see you.
Oh, I just love those little things.
Yeah, those acronyms work pretty handy. Yes, and we're a very active group. We'll be coming out, I would say, we're told by the state, probably around July, with the Survey Monkey, which you'll get notification of. Every NAMI member will get it. And it will be throughout the state. It's going to be a statewide needs assessment, although it's county by county. And to determine what are the mental health and behavioral health needs of people 21 and younger in Hunterdon County. What do we need more of? Well, we know we need more psychiatric time, especially for children. But that's not just Hunterdon County. That's throughout the state and, frankly, through a lot of the country. We know we need more transportation. The link has been very helpful for many of our people coming in for services, bring them into services. But we need more. And, you know, money being what it is, that's not going to happen.
The times that they run the link is going to change, too, in the next month.
I didn't know that, but I'm going to go online and find out more about that.
Well, they have a shuttle.
Right, yeah.
And the shuttle is now going to stop at 7:30.
Well, actually, that's pretty good because we struggle in another county I won't name where, you know, if you're not outstanding there at the bus or the curb to be picked up at 4:30, you're out of luck.
Well, yeah, but this was, I my feeling, and I don't want to get hung up on this, but what happens to somebody that works till 9 o'clock?
Right.
What do they do, walk home then? You know, and they can't afford to take a cab.
Right.
So what do they do if they stop the bus at 7:30? So I just
transportation in rural counties are very
difficult. Brutal.
It is, and it was supported so many years, was supported from Atlantic City, the proceeds from the casinos.
Right.
Well, now that the casinos are closing down left and right, that's like a house of cards down there. Now we're losing even more revenue.
Sure.
So, cutting back is apparently the fiscally responsible thing or the only thing they can do.
Well, anyway,
we don't need to get off on the politics.
I can do that on a mental health board and scream about, just briefly, how did the, you call it kayak, okay?
Right.
How did it come to be and who basically does it serve? Who we've been talking about?
Yes.
The 3 to 21 the children. Type thing?
Yes, it came about many, many years ago. It came about, I would say, I'm kind of guesstimating here, but the late 80s, early 90s. And it was designed to address the disparity between mental health treatment for adults and for children. It was also designed to identify what the disparities are, what the needs were in each county, and to bring together a group of people to try to address those needs. So all the kayaks are set up similarly, but like Catholic Charities convenes it in Hunterdon County. In Somerset County, the county itself convenes it. It just depends where you are. In Hunterdon County, Catholic Charities does it, and it brings together a group of folks who are interested and invested in trying to improve the lives of children with behavioral and mental health disorders. The way in which we approach that, for the most part, is if there's an issue, if there's a concern that a parent brings to us that we can help with, we will. So, for example, the woman that I spoke about earlier, whose son, 17-year-old son, very large young man, and, about the police and their response, that person, she's a member, as a parent, she's a member of our kayak, as are other people who are parents of children. Who have a mental health or behavioral health disorder. But it's also agencies involved. So the Tri-County CMO, which is really charged with working, you know the executive director, James Pruda, they're really charged
also
with...
Also Linda Zimmerman.
Linda Zimmerman, she's a peach, yes, Linda. I don't know what we'd do without Linda. But so the Tri-County CMO, Care Management Organization, is really charged with doing care management, so making sure that youth who are involved in the system are getting the services they need, helping them to access services, and involving the families. And this is the key, involving the families in this. We don't want no one, I hope, in our children's system of care wants to do things independent of the family, because we recognize that, children, whenever safely possible, should be with their family. And shouldn't be hospitalized if they don't have to be, or put in residential setting if they don't have to be, if services can keep them in the family. But that's, it's important to have the family's input on that. So I don't know how it was back in the day with you, when you're with your son.
If the family is both on the same track and both looking to, proceed forward with their
That's the art.
And like we talked about earlier, sometimes the father's get off here, pull up your bootstraps, go out and get a job, blah blah blah, and the mother's hold a little cub,
we need something in between there.
But sometimes that's not always the case.
Well, yes, I absolutely agree with you. But the art to, and being with the CMO or with Mobile Response, my program, it's all voluntary. The families are voluntary.
Right.
It's not like, they're court mandated to be involved. Mm-hmm. And the art of it is to get everybody on the same page. So to do that, they have something called child family team meetings. And that's where the child, regardless of age, parents, any concerned people that the family wants to have involved, could be a teacher. Could be a pastor, could be a neighbor, a grandparent who is involved with this child's care and wants to be there and are invited by the family, as well as other professionals, somebody from the Family Service Organization, a very key piece to this, who really are there to support the parents. And to have them at the table at a child family team meeting along with the care manager. And if mobile response, mm-hmm. my program has been involved to have them there too, to have the in-home therapist there, or at least available by telephone, to have these people together in the same room talking about, okay, what does this child need? What does this family need? What does this child want? What does the family want? What will being healthy look like for this family? So for one family, being healthy may look like their child not cutting themselves anymore, doing any self-harm. For another family, it may look like their child not self-harming, but also applying to, you know, Raritan Valley College or whatever. Right. So, and then a plan is designed, and everybody has some tasks involved with that plan. And we find that doing that, I mean, we did that at Catholic Charities, oh my goodness, in excess of 25 years we've done that. But it's something that the state has really adopted more recent years, 10 years or so. And Child Protective Services have now adopted as well. We find by engaging the family, letting them know we're there to support, not to tell them what to do. Not to tell them, look, I don't care whether you like it or not, your child's getting a therapist. That's not what it's about. It's really a collaborative effort to get everybody on the same page, everybody feeling supported, and everybody feeling like they have a voice in that room. You know, I have always said from the time I walked out of, you know, my undergraduate education, you know, this is the family's issue. These are the family problems. Then the family needs to solve these problems. I'm just there to act as someone to help them, a support to help them, maybe sometimes identify the problems, but to help them work through the problems.
Right. We've got about 6 minutes.
Wow. That went fast.
Do you still do home counseling?
Yes, we still do in-home therapy. We have a few programs. One program is a comprehensive treatment program where we work with families who have, you know, can have multiple dysfunctions, are in danger of their child being placed outside the home. They need to have gone through other treatment that has not worked, or they have not just clicked with, and maybe a little wary about being involved. So somebody will go out to the home and provide that treatment. We have psychiatric services for any family member, not just the identified, what we call the identified person in the family, or used to be identified patient, but for anybody in the family.
Is the Spirit program still?
Oh, we're still up and running.
That's good, because I know people who's had someone of theirs go through the Spirit, and all I've heard was good things about it. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
You know, it's true.
Yeah, it's the Spirit program is stands for. I can't even remember. Partners in
the
treatment
acronyms.
Spiritual partners in recovery and treatment, and it really is. It's a modified. It's not a partial care program, but it's a program where someone can come as many times a week as they need to, but at least three times a week for individual and or group therapy, and to see. And they, we also have a case manager, a full time case. Here in 100, and it's a part time case manager and a peer advocate. And we also have psychiatric services for folks who need medication monitoring, et cetera. And they're a very happy group. do a lot. The peer person will help them with things such as Social Security applications. Has gone to court with them. Has gone to hearings, et cetera. So it's a really positive program. There's a charge for that program if they have Medicare or whatever. We accept all Medicare. We accept insurance, et cetera.
That was reading my mind. That was my next question.
Yeah, we do. The in-home therapy I talked about before is no cost. But this program, yes, there is a charge. But the maximum a person's going to be charged, no matter how many times they come a week, the maximum is going to be $45 if they don't have insurance or Medicare or Medicaid. But we do accept all three of those.
Okay.
So, and we work with them. We have had people who can't afford it, I mean, at all. And we do have a sliding scale. That's our sliding scale fee, but I do have the ability to do what we call hardship and even reduce that even further.
Well, that's good. Briefly, we have about 4 minutes left now. What are some of the ways that the community can help people with mental health issues? People living with mental health issues that can help them. Do you have any idea?
Well, I think some of them are
obvious. From your
point of view. Some of them are obvious. You know, some of our people who are more seriously mentally ill have issues such as homelessness. So, you know, being aware of that, and where do your dollars go? Do they support people with mental illness, or are they used for other reasons? You know, I was reading the Reader's Digest, I guess a month or so ago, and in there it talked about the different charities, you know, and how,
yes,
where that
I
money
saw
has
that
to.
Article.
Did you see
yes,
that? I was surprised yeah. at one of them whose name I will not mention.
No,
but
we can't mention.
No,
it.
I would not. I would not do that. But you know, I was kind of surprised with that. But to go on Charity Navigator, and if you want to support someone, you know, people, unfortunately, a large majority of people who are homeless have a mental illness. So, you know, let's look at what supports they need so they don't have to be homeless anymore.
Right.
Looking at, you know, and that is where our dollar should go. Also looking at how can I, as a person, and you know, Larry, I'm not necessarily a PC person, but how does my approach or my thoughts or my words, how does that impact someone with mental illness? Many years ago, I was at a restaurant, and a woman was there, and she had aphasia, so she could not speak. She could not speak properly, and I didn't know if it was because she had had a stroke or if because she was on medication, because sometimes medication will do right. that to you, etc. And she was at a restaurant trying to order, and people were making fun of this woman, and she was beautifully groomed. I mean, she looked beautifully groomed.
Right.
And, you know, one woman was laughing and saying to her kids, oh, look at that stupid woman. And I got so angry. I got up from our table. I walked over and I asked if I could sit down at her booth with her. And she said, she nodded yes. And the waitress wouldn't even take her order. And I told her, point to me what you want. And then I ordered for her. And when I got up and I walked back to my seat, she was in tears. And when I got up and I walked back to my table, I turned around and I looked at that mother with the children and said, shame on you. What lesson are you teaching your children? Just
yeah,
shame
really.
On you.
Exactly. What is the contact information if somebody wants to get a hold of me in the last 50 seconds or so we have?
Okay. Well, if you want to call Catholic Charities in Hunterdon, the number there is 908-782-7905. If you're having a crisis with a child or young adult in your home and you think you may want to either learn more about mobile response, which is no fee, there's no fees attached. If you want to call, you can call 1-877-652-7624, or you can go on the website performcare.org.
Martha, I can't thank you enough for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, it is for me, Larry.
And, you know, it's just, I just think it gets the word out to people. And, you know, we won't be here next week because the chamber is closed and we'll be doing reruns for Martin Luther King's birthday. So I will see you in 2 weeks. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you in 2 weeks.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
I would love, please, FBI, please, go after Hillary. I want to run against Bernie.
Donald Trump making it clear who he wants to run against if he gets the Republican nomination for president.
That's my dream. That's the one. That's the one I really want.
Speaking at a rally in New Hampshire today, Trump said Sanders doesn't act presidential and would impose a 90% income tax on Americans. Senator Ted Cruz will not be attending President Obama's State of the Union address. A campaign spokesman says the senator doesn't mean any disrespect to the president, but he's working hard to win New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary February 9th. The three other senators who are running for president, Republicans Rand Paul and Marco Rubio and Democratic candidate Bernie Sanders, will attend Obama's final State of the Union address. This is USA Radio News.
The fight to preserve Western civilization and Western values in America is more important than it's ever been, and that's why you'll want to be at the Western Conservative Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona on March 18th and 19th. It's the premier gathering of conservatives in the Western United States. It's the event you don't want to miss. Conservative stars from around the country will be there, including Governor Mike Huckabee.
Military is not a social experiment. The purpose of the military is kill people and break things.
America's Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
We're bringing the illegal immigration problem back to the forefront.
Keynote speaker and former presidential candidate Herman Cain.
The American dream is under attack. But the good news is we are fighting back.